Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. When our boys were young, they sometimes played a game that they called What If? As they played this game, they would envision a set of circumstances that usually resulted in the most outrageously funny results. Now, because they were boys, the What Ifs that they conjured up often did not pass the mom test for safety or propriety, but their scenarios were always hilariously funny. In other contexts, we may play the what-if game in a more serious manner when we look back on the course of our lives. We may ask ourselves, what if I had made this choice instead of the one I made in some circumstance? How would my life be different today? In many cases, a different choice at a pivotal point in one's life would have resulted in a vastly altered course for one's life. Sometimes, a different choice might have tragic results that cause us to shudder at the very thought of them. For example, a teenager may be invited to go with a group of friends who are planning a night out partying. The clear implication is that they will be drinking and doing other things they ought not to do. The teen decides not to go, and later learns that the group that went partying was involved in a traffic accident that claimed their lives. What if that teen had gone with them? It's a sobering realization. In a spiritual context, we can play the what-if game with some of the common excuses that people offer for not doing what they ought to do with regard to God's Word. We may ask, what if the Lord made people as sick as they say they are on Sunday morning? Or what if the Lord made people as poor as they claim to be when asked to contribute to the work of the church? What if the Lord took away the children that people use as an excuse for not coming to Bible study or worship? And what if the Lord struck dead everyone who lied about his or her giving, as he did Ananias and Sapphira? The possibility of such what-ifs is routinely dismissed by most people because they would rather not consider them. We realize, of course, that the Lord is not likely to do any of these things because the Scriptures teach us that he is reserving judgment for the end of time. But there are some what-ifs that have a direct bearing on our lives and eternal destiny. For a few moments today, we will consider some of them. In the 1946 movie It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey was given the opportunity to see what the world would have been like had he never been born. Although he was in the midst of a personal and business crisis that seemed more terrible than he could bear, George Bailey saw just how much more terrible things might have been if he had never lived. The dark vision of his hometown, devoid of all the good that he had done during his lifetime, gave him a renewed appreciation for all the good things that he had experienced. George Bailey's fictitious story, as moving as it is, pales in comparison, however, to the question, what if Christ had never come? In Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 7 through 10, speaking of our Lord, Paul said, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purchased in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth." In Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 8 to 11, Paul said this, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, in these two sections of Scriptures, we see that it was God's eternal purpose to sum up all things in Christ. This summing up of all things is the redemption from sin that is only possible by means of the blood of our Lord. From the beginning of time, God the Father purposed that his one and only Son would be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all mankind for all time. Everything he did from the beginning of time was intended to bring this purpose to a successful conclusion. But what if Christ had never been born? Well, if Christ had never been born, God's eternal purpose could not have been achieved, and there would be no hope of eternal life for mankind. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 4, the scripture speaks of this truth. The writer says, "For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have a consciousness of sin?" But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Now, the point of this statement is that no sacrifice other than the perfect blood of the Son of God was capable of taking away the sins of mankind. To this, the writer further attested in Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12. Here he said, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." What if Christ had not come? How different this world would be. The goodness and blessings that are the result of the Lord's influence in the world would not be present for us to enjoy. We would still be in our sins, and we would have no hope. We should thank God every day that this what-if never came to pass. Christ did come, and he gave his life on the cross as the ransom for our sins. But what if Christ had not been raised from the dead? How would that change our destiny? Paul the Apostle answered this question in his first letter to the church in Corinth, because certain false teachers had come to Corinth asserting that there was no resurrection of the dead, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12. The fact of the Lord's resurrection was a central feature of apostolic preaching, and our faith in Christ stands or falls on the truth of this subject. Paul strongly defended the fact of the Lord's resurrection from the dead and pointed out how different our destiny would be if he had not been raised from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 through 19, Paul said, "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." So our hope for eternal life rests on the fact of the Lord's resurrection from the dead. We know that we will be resurrected from the dead at the end of time because he was resurrected on the third day after his death and burial. If the Lord was not raised from the dead, we have no hope, and we have nothing to look forward to after death. We must thank God every day that our Lord did indeed come forth from the grave on the third day. Well, the fact that the Lord came to the earth to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and the fact that he was raised from the dead, never to die again, give us hope for eternity. This is what the good news, the gospel, is all about. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. He paid the debt for our sins, and he rose from the dead so that we may have the opportunity to receive eternal life. We receive this priceless gift when we obey the gospel by believing that he is the Son of God, turning away from sin, confessing his name, and by being immersed in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection, so our sins will be washed away. This is the crux of the book of Acts and the records of conversion that are written there. But what if one does not obey the gospel? Well, two sections of Scripture answer this question for us. The first comes from the Lord himself when he taught about what it means to become his disciple. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, the Lord said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, the Lord's point in these verses is that there is no profit in forfeiting one's soul, not even if one could acquire all of the world's wealth. In verse 27, the Lord said, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." The clear implication is that one who does not become a disciple of Jesus Christ will lose his soul as a result of not becoming a disciple. The very manner in which the Lord spoke these words tells us that there is nothing that we can acquire in exchange for our souls that is the equal of the blessing of salvation by being the Lord's disciple. If one does not become a disciple of Jesus, he forfeits his soul. The Apostle Paul agreed with this truth, but portrayed it in even more graphic terms in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. He said, "For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." Now there is no question as to Paul's point. If one does not obey the gospel, the Lord will deal out retribution to that person at the end of time. This means that person will be turned away from heaven at judgment and will be consigned to the lake of fire, which is the second death, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. If we do not obey the gospel, we will be lost for eternity. But we may thank God each day we live that we still have the opportunity to avail ourselves of this great gift. Now those who obey the gospel have their sins washed away and their names are written in the book of life. This is the promise of Scripture from the first Pentecost after the Lord's resurrection from the dead throughout all time to today. But what if I fall away and return to the world? Some people, of course, do not believe it is possible to be lost after having become a child of God, but the Scriptures teach otherwise. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22, Peter addressed this very point with the scripture with the Christians to whom he wrote. He said, "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire." Friends, it is a simple truth. We must be faithful until death in order to receive the crown of life. Jesus said this in Revelation 2 and verse 10. If we are not faithful until death, our souls will be lost at judgment, and our end will be worse than if we had never known the truth. While this is a frightening thought, the Lord made provision for our ongoing cleansing if we confess our sins and seek forgiveness. In 1 John 1, verses 7 through 10, John tells us that the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us so long as we walk in the light. So we must thank God for the ongoing forgiveness that he showers upon us so long as we seek him each day. There is one final series of what-ifs that we must consider today. The Scriptures teach us that the Lord may return at any time for judgment, and that no one knows the exact time that he will return, Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 and 42. The Scriptures also teach that our lives are like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away, James chapter 4 and verse 14. Because of these truths, we must be ready every day to meet the Lord. We prepare to meet the Lord first by obeying the gospel, just as the 3,000 did on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. Once we have obeyed the gospel, we prepare to meet the Lord by walking in the light and confessing our sins so he will forgive them. With these things in mind, then, we'll ask the final what-if questions. What if your life ends today? What if the Lord returns today? What if today is your last opportunity to obey the gospel? Are you ready to stand before the Lord in judgment? And what if you said yes to the Lord today by obeying the gospel? What a difference that would make in your life and in your eternal destiny. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.